On the other hand, Kabbalah and other periods and times in North Africa, in Palestine, could be much more cut off, much more secluded, much more anti-cultural vis-a-vis the majority. So again, to reduce the Kabbalah to one form or shape is really impossible. That's why I guess it perturbs me when I hear people standing up and saying, this is what the Kabbalah states, just like this is what Judaism states. One must see an historical development here and an evolution and various schools of the Kabbalah, and therefore the word Kabbalah, as we have seen, is not simply a word that can be described with one simple definition. It includes all of these traditions, and in many respects, they often conflict with each other. All right, and now this leads me to consider another pattern of culture. Again, let us locate the patterns that we have spoken about. Northern France, beginning in Germany, but ending up in Northern France, the creation of a body of legal exegesis, biblical exegesis, rabbinic exegesis, associated with Rashi and his school called the Tosafot, and the creation of new methods to study the Talmud and to engage in the pedagogic core of Judaism, which for these individuals is the halakha, that is, the law of Judaism. That takes place in northern France primarily, although its influence, as you will see, is all over the place. Then we spoke about the Kabbalah and the emergence in the same areas where philosophy had emerged and developed and continued to flourish and also enter into controversy in Catalonia Provence. In other words, that area which was between the Muslim South and the Christian North. In a very special area where all kinds of forms of development took place. You must recall that in Provence as well, there is a tradition of translating Maimonides and other philosophers into Latin, and in pursuing the study of philosophical culture as it had been done already in Spain. In these same areas, as we saw, the Kabbalah acts as a kind of counterpoint, as a kind of second alternative, as what they consider to be the legitimate alternative to philosophy. Now I want to introduce something else, which I want to call by its Hebrew name, Chassidut Ashkenaz. The word Ashkenaz, of course, you should be familiar with already, is that particular region in Northern Europe, which we associate with a certain style, a certain cultural configuration that emerges in the Middle Ages within the Christian world. Chassidut is a very interesting word. It means pietism, literally pietism. When we think about Hasidism, we usually associate that word with a development within the 18th century in Eastern Europe, the Hasidim. When we go to Brooklyn or to or Israel and we see Hasidim, or I was just in Belgium in Antwerp, you'll see hundreds, thousands of people walking around with strange, at least to those who don't know them, strange outfits who call themselves very pious Jews, with long beards and so on, who call themselves Hasidim. I'm not referring to these Hasidim at all. In fact, I guess Hasidim is a word, is a generic word, like Protestant, you know? It doesn't mean the Protestants are of one, a lot of people like to call themselves pious. We have Hasidim in the ancient world, those who call themselves pious. We have these German pietists, as you will see, emerging in the 12th century, who call themselves pietists. And we have the pietists of the 18th century. There are connections between all of these groups, but basically they are very loose connections. Basically, we are speaking about an entity not to be associated with Eastern European Hasidim, but nevertheless, this group does have an impact upon them. So there is some connection, but as I said, a loose one. Now, why is this group important? First of all, the region that we are talking about. Germany, along the Rhine River, the origin of Ashkenazic Jewish culture, but post-Crusade. In other words, the middle of the 12th century. So we are speaking about something that happens after the atrocities of the Crusades, after the killings, when the Jewish community is trying to recuperate from its losses,